right, we'll be in John chapter 10. John chapter 10 this morning, and we'll be in verses 1 through 10, and then we're going to jump around a little bit, or either I'm going to give you quite a bit of other passages this morning. But we'll be in John chapter 10, and I'll begin reading in verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him that porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you this morning, I ask you to give me the words that you'd have me to say. I thank you, Lord, for your people that have gathered here this morning, and I ask you to use me, and may we leave here this morning encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to look at peace this morning, but not in an exhaustive type of way. It will not count as our fruit of the Spirit slash corresponding work of the flesh. Once we get to peace, and then the work of the flesh, which is worry, we'll get to that at some other point. But I got over here this morning, and I was planning on spending the whole day today on the topic of revival ahead of our revival next week, and I decided to get up at my normal time. I thought about sleeping in a little bit, thought about that, but the Lord said, no, stick to your schedule. So I got up at 6 o'clock and came over here, and the Lord changed my message. So we're going to deal with peace this morning. We're going to look at peace. And we see today, during all of this coronavirus stuff, that our nation and our world is not at peace. They are frantic. They are unnerved. They're unhinged. Mansfield also, you cannot find a lot of things that were a commonplace in the store a couple weeks ago. And we could go on and on with the adjectives to describe the panic that is in society right now. And the reason why is because they do not know the Prince of Peace. Being cautious is not being in a frenzy. It is not joining in with the frenzy. It's just simply being cautious. Protective and preventative measures. But we as Christians are not to be as those that do not know God. But we are to have peace. RU's definition of peace is to be safe from harm in your spirit, mind, and body. That's peace. And it goes on to say, peace is the result of a Christian who is expressing love and experiencing joy. Of course, someone who is blessed as such is going to experience great tribulation in his life. You see, God's power will be on the life of that one who expresses love and experiences joy. That power will lead to an incredible opportunities for evangelistic outreach, thus bring opposition or oppression from the enemy. To fight this oppression and impending tribulation, you must have God's peace that passes all understanding. You will then be free from worry or harm in your spirit, mind, and body. This means that the devil wants what God has given you. And I want you to know, it doesn't matter what it is that God has given you, the devil wants to take it from you. If God has given you peace, the devil wants your peace. Jesus spoke a parable in John 10, but in verse 1, is right there is where we'll think on for a minute. In verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And I want you to know, the devil does not announce his presence when he comes up to you. He does not call you by name and let you know that he's coming around. He does not knock on the front door to your heart. He does not come at you head on. He would not use the front door of our church, but he'd use a crack, maybe a little opening somewhere that he could get in. The reason why is because he's a thief and he's a robber, and he's been doing it a long time, and he's a good thief and a good robber. He's good at what he does. He thinks he's never been caught, but he's on a short leash by the very hand of God, and one day the devil will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. In verse 8, it says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. And this is how we should be. When the thief and the robber, the devil, comes and tries to rob us of what God has given us, we don't even hear him. We don't respond to him. Because we know better. And there's only one voice that we recognize. And that's the voice of God. And I want to hone in this morning on the voice of God and what the voice of God is telling us about peace from his word. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Now if you want peace, it comes from the Lord. It is a fruit of the Spirit. So if you ever find yourself being fearful or anxious, go get with the Lord of peace. And it will be the Lord that will give you your peace. Again, this world wants your peace. The devil wants your peace. And by the way, we see it very prevalent right now with the current climate and the situation that's going on. They want our peace, and if they can get our peace, they will control us. They'll control us by fear. They'll be running us around everywhere with a leash around our neck like we're a little puppy dog to control us by fear. They want to take away from you what God has given you and what will point others to Christ. Your peace in times of national and global distress will point others to Christ. The Bible also says this about peace in John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulations. Tribulation, you're going to have them. You're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Christ is telling us here in John 16 that we can have peace even in a world of tribulation because he's overcome the world. Overcome means to conquer, to subdue, to surmount, to get the better of. So whatever happens in this world, Christ has already overcome it because he's already overcome the world. And because Christ has already overcome the world, we can have peace regardless of what the tribulation is, because it's already been overcome. And if you want to know how to defeat something or someone, go to the one that's already defeated it, already mastered it. The word tribulation means severe affliction, distresses of life. But we can still have peace because Christ has overcome the world. And by the way, Christ may face much tribulation in his 33 short years on this earth, and he overcame it when on the third day he arose and is presently sitting on the right hand of God the Father making intercession for us. Christ overcame tribulation in his own life. He is our example in how to overcome tribulation because he did it. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. It says perfect peace. Perfect here in context means finished, complete. So that's not talking about a little bit of peace. Not some peace, not just about complete peace, but perfect peace, complete peace. But there is a condition here. You cannot lose sight of the condition. The condition is whose mind is stayed on thee. This means in your thoughts. You're sitting around, you're going here, yonder, and there. You got the TV on maybe, watching the news, what they're talking about. Don't encourage you to have it on for too long. You're walking around, going about your day when you're lying down on the couch or in the bed. Keep your mind stayed on Christ. Not the situation, not the coronavirus, not the lack of toilet paper and peanut butter, but keep your mind fixed on Christ. And it will only be by this that you'll have perfect peace. Now, I've told y'all before that my life at one time was far from peace. I was trained for war, so I mean, every day I was waiting on war. I'd go into McDonald's, I was waiting on war. I was waiting on something to happen. Something's going to happen. I used to try and prepare for it, plan for it the best I could. I used to lie awake at night. I wanted to be awake in case somebody came busting in that door. I wanted to be awake. I wanted to be prepared. And then finally, I just fall off asleep from exhaustion of thinking through every scenario that I could and trying to be ready for it. Having guns staged in different places in the house. I was not a person at peace. And I had to learn that by keeping my mind on Christ and not everything that could happen and not everything that could go wrong. And by the way, there's always something that could go wrong. There's always something that could happen. And we can live our life in a bubble in fear. And that's what I did. I lived my life in bubble. In a bubble, and there was only a few people inside that bubble with me. And if you weren't in that bubble with me, then, you know, I could care less about you. Because in my mind, you were a threat because you weren't in my comfort zone. You weren't in my bubble. I was a person that lived in a constant state of unrest, a constant state of being paranoid. I mean, I've been there. But I had to learn to keep my mind stayed on Christ. And then I could have perfect peace. Now, if I get to looking at things even today, if I get to looking at things for too long and I get my mind off of Christ, I get my mind off the peace that only through Him that I can claim, I'm going to start getting worked up again. I've said before that there's times where I see something going on in the Middle East and I think, you know what, I'm going to go sign up and go back over there. It wouldn't take me anyway, but I'd try in my mind. But I got to keep my mind stayed on Christ and have His peace. You know, you're trusting in God. Don't trust in Washington. Don't trust in the news to get it right. Don't trust in this world. Don't trust in a vaccine for the coronavirus. If you want the peace of God, you must keep your minds fixed on Christ and trust in Him. I've known Christians at times who, if it's on the news, they got it. If they give a list of symptoms, they got every one of them. See a news flash at 5:30. How to keep you safe at 6. And they say, well, no, what if I'm not safe in the next half an hour? Worry, 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 worry. Defeated by worry. No peace. Why is that? Their mind is fixed on all that is bad in the world. And all that could happen. You know, I got a very short trip to the church, but a million things could happen from the time I walk out the door to get to the church. And that's just a short trip. A million things could happen. But you can't stay in the house. You got to have peace. You got to have peace that you're about God's business, that you're about doing what God would have you to do, and have peace that He's going to take care of you. At times, their mind is fixed on all that's bad in the world. Their mind's fixed on television and what's going on instead of being fixed on Christ and trusting in Him. If we want peace, we cannot go around God to have it. And you sure won't get it from TV or internet news or word of mouth that's a quarter right from a news article that was all the way wrong. Psalm 4:8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Notice it didn't just say lay down, but he added sleep. I got to thinking about my own self quite a few years back. How I'd lay down, but sleep was hard. Laying down was easy. Sleep was hard. David said both. He added sleep in peace. Lay in peace and sleep. You know, if we focus on the things that's going on while we're trying to sleep, well, we'll never sleep. Crime don't stop. Crime don't stop. It never stops. The reason why, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. I don't care what army or Marines is outside your door. If God wants to get you, He's going to get you. If God wants you to have it, you're going to have it. You can't eat right enough, exercise enough, sanitize enough, quarantine yourself enough. If God sees fit for you to get it, you're going to get it. Now, I'm not saying don't proceed with caution at times in this life and throw preventative measures to the wind, but what I am saying is don't hang your hat on your caution. Don't hang your hat on your preventative measures, because if God wants you to get it, whatever it is, you can't avoid it. Because if it's God's will for it to befall you, He will get you. It don't matter how organized you are, how clean you are, and prepared you are. If God sees fit, you're going to get it. Always crack up a little bit when germaphobes get sick. Their whole existence is in fear of germs and avoiding them. But it does them no good whatsoever, because they get sick just like everybody else. Because you cannot avoid germs. And actually, exposure helps with the immunity. Kind of like giving people what they are allergic to. I believe Brother Stoner went through this, where they gave him what he was allergic to in small doses so he wouldn't be allergic to it anymore. Don't hang your hat on it. Just trust in God and have His peace. Brother Barry cracked me up on Friday night. He said, I survived swine flu, Ebola twice, SARS, and he's going to survive this too. Isaiah 12:2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah, and that's in all caps, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. God is our salvation. And it is because God is our salvation that we can trust Him. Think of how marvelous our conversion was. It was nothing short of a miracle. And it is because of that we can trust in Him. Salvation means the act of saving, preservation from destruction, danger, or great calamity. He delivered us from hell when we trusted in Him. And not just 5 minutes in hell, that wouldn't have been good enough. Not just a few days in hell, that wouldn't have been good enough either. But God delivered us from an eternity in hell. So Jesus is our deliverer. Not just when He saved our soul, but think of everyone else. Think of everything else that we've been saved from. And the things that we've been delivered from that we don't even know. You know, that there's been times where, you know, I was a little bit frustrated about the timing in things. And then on the back side of it, you know, I'm thinking, well, things happen for a reason. I'm not happy for it in the moment. But after that, I'm thinking, well, you know, things happen for a reason. And, you know, I can't tell you the times where, you know, I just had a praise on Friday night about God's timing. There, I was talking about a couple of years ago. We were traveling down south, and we picked up something in a tire on the road, and we came out from the hotel room, and we had a flat tire, but right next door was a convenience store, and they had a tire repair kit, and I was able to plug it right there and had the air station right there. And I mean, that it was just a beautiful scenario. Could have been much worse. Could have been on the roadside and worried about people that are what they call that, and driving hypnosis or whatever. They're just zombies while they're driving. They've been driving for 10 hours, and I'm on the side of the road while zombie-like people are driving past me because they've been traveling all day and stuff. Oh, it worked out great. Got in my truck here a few days ago. Brake pedal went to the floor, but it was in my driveway. You know, the Lord's timing. And I can't tell you the times where when things might not have been going the way I wanted them to go, that God delivered me from something worse. And that's if I even know what it was that he delivered me from. You know, sometimes we stand here today and don't know how fortunate we are to just be standing here. We serve a master deliverer. Isaiah also says, I will trust and not be afraid. This would be a great motto for all of us on an everyday basis. I will trust and not be afraid. If it's bills, if it's health, if it's job, if it's car problems, friend problems, safety concerns, I will trust and not be afraid. The reason why will we trust? Why will we not be afraid? Isaiah says, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Now, if you will trust and not be afraid, you're going to have to claim this, that the Lord Jehovah is your strength and your song. Now, this means it's not your strength. You're not getting through on your strength. You can't claim this in your strength. We're a mess in our own strength. We're a mess. It's not your strength. You won't have this peace in your own strength. We're a mess. You won't trust in your own strength. We shouldn't, because we know where we can take ourselves, so we shouldn't trust in our strength. You'll be afraid in your own strength. You have to decide that the Lord Jehovah is your strength, and he is also your song, which means the joy that is within you has manifested itself into a song. And it will be directed towards God, and it is about God. And by the way, if it's a song that God gives you, it's going to be about him. It's going to be about him. It ain't going to be about sin. It's not going to be about glorifying sin. It's not going to be about elevating man. If it's a song that God gives you, it's going to be about him, and he's going to get all the praise for it. He's a jealous God, which means when we come into his house, when we're in our car, wherever we are, he wants the praise. He wants it all to himself. Isaiah also says, he also is become my salvation. Again, the Lord Jehovah is our deliverer. Then one last verse involving peace, then we'll jump back to John 10. Romans 15, 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The God of hope, it says, not the God of despair, not the God of fear, not the God of anxiety, worry, and stress. The God of hope fill you. Only the God of hope can. And what does he fill us with? He fills us with joy. Remember what joy means. It is a cheerful, calm delight and rejoicing in a particular circumstance. No matter what the circumstance is, we can have joy in it. And joy is a fruit of the Spirit, which means when we're walking in the Spirit, We can have joy regardless of what the situation is. And when we find ourselves in the middle of a situation, a circumstance, and we don't have joy, we know that we are relying on something else or someone else. Now, we can all be guilty of that. There's been times where, you know, something popped up in my life, and I called somebody before I called God, and to help, whether it was a mechanic or something along them lines. I called for some type of service or something like that, and it didn't go the way I wanted it to. I didn't have any joy because I was depending on somebody else. Our first phone call needs to be to God. It don't matter what it is that goes wrong. Our first phone call needs to be to God. We can have joy, but when we don't have joy, we're dependent on ourselves, or we're dependent on somebody else, or we're dependent on what's in the account, or what the government's doing. Then broken down some more, it says, when we are faced with circumstances in life that are less than enjoyable, our natural tendency is to think the worst. Now, none of us think the best all the time. I know some folks that are better at it, better at thinking the best at times than others. And at times, I'm not one of them. A lot of times I have to be pointed out the silver lining. So somebody has to point it out to me. The Holy Spirit has to point it out to me. Some people find it just like that. I don't know how some people find it just like that, but there's always something that they're going to struggle with finding it. You know, nobody's perfect at it. But our natural tendency is to think the worst. However, under the influence of the Spirit, we realize that God intends these circumstances to be for our good. As a result of this realization, our proper response from God will be to remain calm and delight in our less than enjoyable circumstances. It all goes back to trusting in God, trusting in Him for what's happening in our life, and then we can have joy, and then we can have peace. And this happens through believing. If you don't believe it, you can't claim it. You can't claim it if you don't believe that God can come through on it. If you believe that your trial or your situation, and sometimes we do that, we take on that mindset sometimes, and sometimes we just have that demeanor and that presence about us that nobody can understand, not even God. Believe means to credit upon the authority or testimony of another, to be persuaded of the truth of something upon the declaration of another, or upon evidence furnished by reasons, arguments, deductions, the mind, or by other circumstances other than personal knowledge. When we believe upon the authority of another, we always put confidence in his veracity. This means you did not come up with this. It was presented to you, and you had to choose to believe it. And this morning, we've not covered an exhaustive list on peace, but God, through His Word, has showed us many things dealing with peace, but you must believe Him when He says it. Then apply it to your circumstances in life. You know, believing and applying is sometimes different. It's a little bit different for us. I believe the Bible cover to cover. Cover to cover, every bit of it. But applying every bit of it, sometimes a different story. When God knows our trial, and He knows every one of our trials, and then He gives us a verse, oh, we believe it. We believe it 100%. We decided that a long time ago. We believe it, cover to cover, word for word. Don't mess with any of it. We believe it. But applying it, it's a whole nother story. Sometimes we apply it. Sometimes not so much. We go back and forth, depending on how much of a struggle a certain area is for us. We go back and forth with it. So we must not only believe that He can do it, but apply it in our lives We're going to get this peace and that joy. John 10, 1 through 10, and then we'll close this morning. I'll just reread that and then give the closing comments. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. You've heard from the voice of your Father this morning, your Heavenly Father. You are His sheep, so you recognize when He speaks. He's given you a message on peace from His Word. Now with that comes a warning from Him also. There are thieves. There are robbers. They come in disguise. They come in, they try to come in from the back door. They try to come in from windows and other ways. This world is full of them. The devil ensures it. The devil sends them. He is their father, and they want to take from you what God has given you. Now, if you leave here this morning with God's peace, I want you to know there's going to be things coming to try and take it from you. It's going to happen. It will happen. Every decision that you make for God, everything that you commit to your heart when you leave this place, if you even get out of here, somebody might have came in the flesh. So even if you get, and they might leave in the flesh. So even if you get out of here, on your way out of here, something could happen to try and take from you what God just planted in your heart from His Spirit. When you get out of here, there's a big mess going on right now. You turn on the news, you're going to hear about it. There's a big mess. And you go down to Walmart, people fighting over stuff. I mean, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. This world, in a moment of chaos, is trying to take your peace from you that you have in God. And you may say, I'm at perfect peace right now with current events. It may be true, but you want to stay that way. So you need to be encouraged that way. Because this world is in a straight-up panic right now. They're losing their minds. They're fighting over stuff. And I also want to encourage us to use this as an opportunity to share the gospel. This world is literally turned upside down right now. We need to use these opportunities to share the gospel. The track rack needs to be empty. It needs to go out during this time. This is a time of chaos. Leave them in restrooms. Leave them at a restaurant if you're brave enough to go out. Personally, I'm not worried about the virus itself. I'm cautious with our older folks. I definitely wouldn't want to be a carrier of it to folks, for our older folks, the more vulnerable to get this. But, I mean, go out if you do that and leave tracks. Leave tracks at places. You have peace. The Prince of Peace living within you. And there is a world full of people right now looking for answers. And they're going to turn to all the wrong things. The world gets panicked, they turn to other things. That's what happens. We need to use this opportunity to go out and present the Prince of Peace to folks. It's great that we have it, but we should also be concerned for their peace. Use this time as a witnessing opportunity. Let them see your peace that passeth all understanding. They don't get it. I mean, I met a local pastor and his family in the Walmart the other night. I mean, and we're cutting up and laughing. I mean, and there's people like they're racing with their carts and stuff like that. I mean, just chill. Just be calm. The Lord is in control. And by the way, and like I said, if he wants you to have it, you're going to get it. There ain't nothing you can do about it. Ain't nothing you can do about it. If he wants you to have it, you're going to get it. Ain't nothing you can do about it. But let's have peace, and then let's share the Prince of Peace during this time of distress. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you this morning, I want to thank you for this time we've had together. And I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for your people that are here. I ask you, Lord, to be with those who are unable to be here. Give them encouragement and strength, healing for those that need it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn number 262, if you would please stand.